We stopped at Ephesians 2 and 8 last week. We could study a week every day for an hour on Ephesians 2. On Ephesians 2 and 8. That is such a tremendous verse in the Bible. I can't remember how it is in King James. I've never quoted it from King James because it's so far off.
I know how it is.
Go ahead.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. That's what you mentioned.
All right. 2, 8, and 9.
Clarice.
Este.
Este.
Sesos menoi.
Sesos menoi.
Dia. Pistios. Kai.
Kai.
Tuto.
Tuto.
Uk.
Uk.
Ek.
Ek.
Imon.
Imon.
Liu.
Liu.
Tu.
Liu.
Doron.
Doron.
For in, it starts with gar, okay? You have to get your minds to get it into English. You have to be for. And then we have locative singular feminine. For in the grace. In the grace. Ye exist. Alright? Ye exist. For in grace ye exist. Ye continuously exist. First person plural. Present indicative active from Amy. Alright? Ye exist. You continue in the grace. That's how you exist. Born in the grace, ye exist, having been saved. And I want you to look at this. This is salvation by grace, period. Having been saved. Now look at it. Who saves you?
Jesus.
You know that when you're out in the world, when you're a child of Satan, and you are, once you come to the age of accountability and you know right from wrong, from that point of time on, you're either a child of God or you're the devil's bunch, one or the other. You're in two corrals, one or the other. Okay? Now, if it wasn't for God calling you by His grace, you'd stay out there in the pig pen, wouldn't you? Yeah, you would. You'd stay right there in the pig pen. If it wasn't for the grace of God and the Spirit of God calling you, you would stay in the pig pen because you're very happy being in the pig pen. The only problem is when you live in the pig pen all your life and when you face death, all of a sudden you're faced with some terrible consequences of living in the pig pen all your life. That is hellfire and damnation and it's eternal. Religion. We talked about how that the Lord's Supper can keep somebody out of heaven. You know that? It can become a religious rite, a sacrament, and then that'll keep you from being saved because it separates you from God. It takes distance between you and God. If you're trusting in the supper to save you, you're done in. Well, that's one of the things we're not supposed to do, is pervert the use of the Lord's Supper. We talked about that. We talked about the three kinds of ideas of the Lord's Supper. Kinds of the ideas of it, how it is done. What does the Catholic Church teach?
Transubstantiation.
What does that mean?
That means that they actually believe that the host becomes the actual body of Christ.
Yeah. All right. Now, is that a perversion of God's Word?
Mm-hmm.
If it will, that damn you. Yeah. If you believe that that will save you, that will damn you. As simple as that. I had several Catholics in my class Sunday morning. And I tell you, I had phone calls all this week and everything, people that are learning and listening. I didn't realize that. They didn't realize what was going on. You know, when you're raised in that, you think it's all good. But you realize it separated you from God and it can damn you. If you trust in baptism for salvation, what are you going to get? Damned. If you trust in the Lord's Supper, if you trust in any of the sacraments, so-called, that will help you get to heaven, it's going to keep you from going to heaven. It won't get you to heaven, it'll keep you out of heaven. Grace is grace. That's what grace is. When God calls you, when God convicts your heart of sin, righteousness and judgment to come. Sin, because we're all sinners. Righteousness, because we know what righteousness is, because there's a conscience in every one of us. Over the years of sin and living in sin, and condoning sin in our lives and the sins in the lives of our loved ones, we will make exceptions to the rules, won't we? Pretty soon, sin is not sin. Well, it couldn't, God, it couldn't be that way. Couldn't be that way. What is that? You're hardening your heart to God's Word and to His truths. God does not, He's never going to bend His rules. It's not going to happen. Well, we talked about transubstantiation. Then we talked about consubstantiation. Consubstantiation. That's another hellish doctrine, isn't it? Well, Calvin and Luther taught that. That means that really the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not literally His body, but it is His body, because you partake of that supper, when you partake of it, you are taking in the grace of God. Grace doesn't come through anything that you can put in your mouth or get in your hand. It comes right straight to your heart, right straight from God. All right? Now, the real symbolic reason of the Lord's Supper is, do this in remembrance of me. That's what it's all about. Okay? We can go back to that from this lesson, because this has got a lot to do with it. Having been saved, nominative, plural, masculine, that's every one of us has been saved. It's perfect tense. What's perfect tense mean? You're a school teacher, brother.
Don't perfect nail tense. Me with that.
Perfect tense.
Means it will happen. Future perfect means
not future perfect, it will happen, but this is perfect tense. It's something that has already been completed. It's a completed action, something that's finished. It's done for. There's nothing else to do. Now, yes.
You started out, for in the grace. Which grace?
For in all grace.
Okay.
The love of God.
In other words, the all-encompassing grace.
Grace. The grace that calls you to God. The grace that saves you. The God that forgives you of all those sins that you committed all your life. And even after you're saved, you commit sins, don't you? Mm-hmm. We're not perfect.
So that's for past, present, and future.
That's it. Ye are having been saved. Ye exist. Ye continually exist because ye are having been saved. And what happens, the salvation here, it's nominative, plural, masculine, perfect. It's a participle. You're remaining that way. This is a continuous action. And then it's passive voice. What does a passive voice mean? It was done to you. You didn't do it to yourself, but it was done to you. So who did it? God did it. God did it. God's mercy did it. That's what happened. All right. Dia pistios. By the agency of faith. And this, kai tuto, and this faith, this grace, this everything, all right, all of this action of grace and faith, where do you get faith from? Do you muster that up? Where does this faith come from? It comes from God, because it's a gift also. Faith is a gift. It's not something you muster up. It's something God gives you. You're saved by grace and you're saved by faith, and both of those things come from God. And then it says, and this not out. Ek. Look at that word, ek. That means out of you all. Didn't come out of you. Now, you can put in a conjunction here if you want to, even a strong conjunction. If you want to in your mind, it's mentally, it's practical substance, and it's there. You can say, but. In your mind, just say, but. Because this is the end of the sentence. This is what you call the final clause of this sentence here. But the free gift of God, belonging to God, is God's gift. Faith belongs to God, and grace belongs to God, mercy belongs to God. 2 and verse 9 now. Uk, ek, ergon, hina, be, tis, kon, kak. Start again. Kakesete. All right, this means to blow. How many of you ever have been around horses? Huh?
Yes.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, you get a horse out and get him really worked up, and he's going to blow. If you've ever run for a long way, I'll never forget. I was up hunting wild mustangs up in at the foot of Boundary Peak. If you've ever been to Boundary Peak, that's the boundary point between California and Nevada, up by Bishop, California. I was on the back side of that mountain, on the other side of Fish Lake Valley, and I was riding my little horse called Rocket. And we'd been moving these horses to the traps and tried to drive them to foot traps. We took a foot trap up there, and we dig a hole in the ground right in a pathway. Here's a trail, okay? And we dig a hole in this pathway, and we stick they had just begun to invent these plastic dish pans. All right? You remember what, you got a plastic dish pan along, you got like a Tupperware dish pan. And we take those things, we turn them upside down, and we put a rope around them, kind of tie a noose in the rope, and put a log or something on the end of it, or a tire or whatever, something basically that looked like this ground. You didn't want them getting anything to spook, because those horses spook. And they step into this, and they get that thing on there so you could run up and throw a rope on them and catch them easier. Slow them down. So we were driving these horses through this deal. And I had my buddy that I went to school with. His name was Jerry Bundy. And I was driving these horses up there, and Jerry was making sure they didn't come back. They had to go through this trail up there and go over the top of this mountain where we had these foot traps set up. Well, Jerry was down there, and I looked down, and I still got pictures of them. I took them from a little old brownie box camera my mother had. And I looked down there, and I saw these calves laying there, and a cow, range cattle up in there. And there was a red calf and a black calf down there. Well, this one cow. This black calf was way off, way from it. And I was coming up this hill. I went up there, and I was up on this ridge, and I'd gone up this trail like this, and I was cutting back over this way. We go back to see if there's any horses that I could rope. Okay? I came over this hill up there, and boy, I saw a herd of deer. There's a deer up there, looked like he had a tree on his head. He was so big. Boy, he's a big old deer. And these other does with him and everything else, running up here, my little horse. The only time he ever bucked in his life was when I was chasing this herd of wild horses. He felt so good he kicked up. And I went over this little hill like this, and Jerry was way down here. Down here is about 8,000 foot. Up here is about 13,000 feet or more. Okay? That's a lot of long way from here to there. Well, I looked down there and I saw all the horses went up here, and I was going to make sure that they fought and Jerry was going to meet me up here. I come over this thing and there's another little ridge over here, and I got over this little ridge, and when I got up there, he was up there going, just like that boy. I mean, just as hard as he could breathe. He was just all just blowing out, boy. He was blowing. I said, "Man," he says, "did you see that wolf?" I said, "What wolf?" He said, "That wolf." He said, "There was a black wolf down there." He said, "I thought it was a big old calf. That was a black wolf." And he said, "That thing growled at me, and when it growled at me," he said, "I never looked back." He ran all the way up that mountain. He up there, boy, he was like, so wonder he didn't have a heart attack. He was a young boy. But I tell you what, you run up that mountain from 8,000 foot to 13,000 foot and see what it does to you. Straight up that mountain like that. I mean, he had some adrenaline going. But he was blowing. Have you ever heard of the term blowhard?
Yeah.
A blowhard?
I don't know when to quit talking.
All right. A blowhard. Now, this is what this word is. Kakesete. Okay? Mm-hmm. Not out of works. Ergon, that means a product of activity, a product of your energy. Okay? Ergon. In order that, not anyone... He may blow. He may brag. He may be full of hot air. All right? That's the term. This is the term where the blow comes from, right there. Saved by grace. If you are saved, if you go to heaven at all, I guarantee you one way you'll get to heaven, that's by the grace of God. It's not by what you did. If you ever do anything for God in your life, I'll tell you who did it. It wasn't you. It was the Spirit of God working through you. When I was young and dumb, You remember those days, Brother Dave? You remember those days? There. Young and dumb, right out of the seminary. Boy, I was a star. Boy, I tell you what, when I went the last few years, I had to take a few classes, and I'd go into some of the teachers' classes, and some of them wouldn't hardly speak. They were scared to say anything, think they'd say it wrong because I was in the class. And I had to tell them, Brother Roger Boland one time, I said, Brother Boland, just teach. I'm the teachee here, not a teacher. You know, Brother Phillips, he said, I just feel small in your presence, you know, like this. I said, just teach. You know what? I graduated with a pretty high grades and stuff, pretty good reputation. But if I had stopped right then, I'd have been a very ignorant person. If I hadn't kept on studying and kept on learning from that point in time on, I would have been an infant still. And you know, there was times in my life when I had to preach, and I preached, and it was so hard to preach. I'd shake, I'd get sick, I'd vomit before I was going to preach and everything else because I had to preach hard lessons. But you know, all those lessons, all those times like that, that's when you're the best. I'll tell you what, that Sunday after I had that stroke or whatever I had, that was all God there. I think I preached on baptism or something. I can't remember what it was on now. But everybody wanted that lesson. I didn't figure I'd have a brain left to even do it with. That was God. That was kariti. That was karis. That's grace. That's mercy. That's what does that. It's not. That wasn't Jim Phillips. Jim Phillips was all messed up. His brain wasn't even working right. That was the grace of God coming through. That was God doing his stuff. You put your place, put yourself in God's hands and just see what he can do with you. Just see what he can do with you. I don't care if you've got 3 brain cells left in your life and God wants you to teach, you can do it. That doesn't mean you lay down and just expect God to pour it all in your head. I have to study harder now than I ever studied in my life because I can't retain anything. It doesn't stick. So I have to study a whole lot before I get up and teach every class. Never had to do that. If I studied this lesson here, I could teach it for 10 years and never look at it again because I remembered it. Not that way now. Grace.
By the same token, you get too puffed up on yourself, God will surely show you too.
That's right. That's so you can't boast.
That's right.
All right. 2 and verse 10. Well, I finished teaching this one time in 10, 11, 1976. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? That's almost 30 years ago the last time I taught this verse. Alto, Gar, Esmon, Poema, Katestentes, in Christo, Esu, Epi, Ergois, Agathois, Hois, Pro Etoi Mason, Ho, Neos, Hina, N, Altois, Peripatesomen. All right. How should this verse start? We have a conjunction there, don't we? We have a gar.
Four. My pastor always says, what is four there for?
What is four there for? It's for a reason. Four are therefore out of him. That's genitive singular oblative singular masculine. In Greek, in Koine and classical, there are 8 cases. Nominative, genitive, objective, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. Alright, that's 8 cases. That's the nouns are in 8 cases. Okay? How the nouns work in that sentence, it tells you what they are. And there's nominative and genitive and oblative. Right here now, we have the oblative. Alright? Oblative, singular, masculine. For out of him we exist. Isn't that beautiful? Out of him we exist. I want you to think now, back for a while. Barashith bara Elohim et Hashimayim with et Haaretz. With Haaretz. Hayat Bohu Batuhu. Think about that for a while. That was in Hebrew, okay? In beginnings, created God, the heavens and the earth. And the earth she became formless and void. And Spirit God did a job back there, didn't he? Spirit God reconstructed the earth. Now that God created the earth, perfect. Perfect. Complete. Perfect. Then something happened. There wasn't any sin in it. There wasn't any darkness in it. Everything lit. God was the light thereof, evidently. And sin happened by the agency of Lucifer. God, Spirit, reconstructed that earth. God the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Father all had part of it. They restored the earth. Now it took chaos, and it made it order again. God does not create disorder. He does not create confusion. He does not create chaos. He creates perfection. When God put Adam in the garden, was Adam all right? He was perfect. When God created Lucifer, was he perfect? Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 said he was perfect in all of his ways, except there was one little key, one little trigger, one little dangerous thing that God did for Lucifer and that God does for mankind, it did for Adam in the garden. Yes, Marilyn?
Volition.
Free will. Well, Lucifer could not have served God and glorified God had he not been able to do it by his will. He did by his will for a long time, evidently. I don't know how long.
Did Michael and Gabriel not have that volition?
They all have it.
Okay, he chose
it. Yeah, they all chose. They could not glorify God at all unless they had volition. They are free by free will. They are glorifying God. Man, when God put man in the garden, man took the place of Lucifer. He did. Man was over all the material creation of God. He was over it. He was the caretaker. He was the administrator. He was the steward over all of it. And this was glory that he was bringing to God as he did everything he did in that garden. But something happened. He chose to go the wrong way. Now, the woman was deceived. Women can get deceived very easily still in the world. Men, I'm not picking on you women, but I'm going to tell you something. God gave man reason. And God, for some way, when God took woman out of man, somehow or another, he didn't quite take enough reason out of there. Because sometimes women don't do things with reason, they do things by feeling, don't they? Well, the Bible teaches this very plainly. The woman was deceived. Man was not deceived. The woman was deceived. Because she was deceived according to her senses, her feelings. Man, when he sinned, he didn't do it according to feeling. He made that decision right here and right here. And when he made that decision, he put the whole human race in total, absolute jeopardy, didn't he? Total, absolute jeopardy from then on. But did God leave man that way? Did he just walk off and leave him? The first thing, even before he created man in an eternity past, what had he done?
Set out a plan to save
him. He set aside a plan to save mankind. So who was going to do the saving? God was going to do the saving. Man didn't have anything to do with that either. So with the airplane crashing, God gave you also a parachute. And that parachute is the blood of Jesus Christ. For out of Him we exist. And it's His workmanship. By the way, this word poiema there is used two times in the New Testament, Revelation 1 and 20 and here now. Poiao is used in several places, but as it is used here, it's only used two times in the New Testament. Our word poem comes from this. We are God's workmanship. How is it? Having been created. Ketestente. It comes from ketizo, which means to create. God created the universe, Genesis 1 and 1. And it got into a chaotic system. And God set it back in order, didn't he? When man got out of sorts, God made a way where he could set man back in order, didn't he? Having been created, nominiform masculine, first aorist, participle, and passive. Now, this aorist, first aorist is functional your action. When does God save you? A God doesn't continuously save you. He keeps you saved by grace. But it is functional your action. He does it one time only. It's partial and it's passive voice. God does it to you. It doesn't come out of you. It comes from God. In Christ Jesus. That's how it happens. In Christ Jesus. That's how it happens. We are created in Christ Jesus. We are reconstructed. Upon. Epi. Alright. What is an epitome of something? That's the best. This word epi, and tell me, that word epi comes right here from this word. Upon works good. Upon works good. We are created to do something. When God created man and put him in the garden, you know something? That he gave him something to do then. What was he supposed to do? Take care of it. Take care of it. Glorify God with it. That's what you're supposed to do. God never leaves you with a lot of leisure time. You don't really need it. There's an old saying back in them there hills. They used to say, idle hands are a devil's workshop. That's exactly. God meant man to stay busy. People that aren't busy get depressed, don't they? You get all out of sorts if you're not busy. You need to be doing something. It's good for you to do something. Do something. Just think of all the good things you can do this week for God. Why, you could get a Sunday school list and you could call the members of our Sunday school class and encourage them and pray with them. If you couldn't do anything else, you can do that without getting out of a chair. Can't you? Upon good works. And that's plural. Upon good works. Which is, hois, a little old dated plural relative pronoun, which is, he prepared before him. Third person singular, first aorist, indicative active. All right, this word comes from pro et toi mazo. The God. Who did it? The God did it. Nominative singular masculine. Devon article, nominative singular masculine God. He's the one that did it. Okay, he's the subject of the sentence. In order that, Hina, in order that, in what? In them what? In them good works. Alright? We should spread ourselves around. Peripatio. In the Old Testament, after Adam sinned, and he sent him out in the world to be fruitful and multiply and spread out. I never forget this, but I remember, I didn't watch much TV, but there was a little bit of, I'd go through and see every now and then, the Three Stooges. And that one old guy, he'd hit everybody and say, spread out! Spread out! Who was that, Moe or something? Yeah. He'd say, spread out! I never think about that without thinking of this term. When God told Noah, after he left the ark, he told him, spread out, buddy! Don't you build big cities. You spread out. You depend on me every day. You know why God blessed the American Indians so much?
Because they didn't build big cities, I guess.
Because they basically listened and heard and adhered to and practiced the plan of God if they wanted to be happy. That's exactly what they were supposed to do. Spread out. Peripatesomen. First person plural, first aorist, subjunctive active. We should walk around in these good works. We should. We should walk around in them. Our whole lives should be filled with imitating our Savior. What does the word Christian mean?
Little Christ.
What?
Little Christ.
Little Christ or Christ-like. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Christians. Because they acted like Christ. I'm going to tell you something. The Amish and the Mennonites were Anabaptists, or they were Baptists. And every country that they lived in, many countries, the only reason why that they could exist and practice their beliefs and stand as churches was because they minded their own business and they didn't try to marry the church to the world, and they were Christians. They were real Christians. They looked different, they smelled different, they ate different, they behaved differently than the rest of the world. And they said, well, a lot of them would say, you know, they're pretty harmless. And they were nonviolent. You know, those, I tell you something, back in that time, you couldn't have been a better Christian than what they did. They were the epitome of Christianity in the world at that time. They, in many countries, and especially in Russia, Catherine the Great wouldn't even allow them to make converts. If they made converts, what happened? Zip. Off goes the head. But did they, were they Christians?
Sometimes.
They were Christians. They were Christians. And they existed and they carried the torch. All those years, they carried the torch. Of course, it was Christ working through them. J. Lewis Guthrie, he takes the term in Hebrew and he puts it here and he said that we might spread ourselves around. I get a lot of J. Lewis Guthrie's quotations because my teacher was his son, his student. And he passed it on after J. Lewis Guthrie was long gone. He was still teaching through Travis Hubbard. And after J. Lewis Guthrie and Travis Hubbard are long gone, I'm still bringing these little nuggets to you today. 2:11. Dio. Meno menete.
Meno menete.
Cote.
Cote.
Himes.
Ta.
Ethne.
In
Sarki,
Hoi,
Legomenoi,
Acrobistia,
Hippo, Tais, Legomenes, Peritomes, in
Sarki,
Caro, Poi, Aestu. Wherefore, you call back to your memory. This word here comes from menemion. Menemion, menuo. And that kind of, our word memorial comes from that. And the word memorial, the root of that, is a gravestone. That's what it is. It's just a gravestone. That's what it is, a memorial. That's a place where you go and remember, is what it's talking about. A place of remembering. This camera's been bothering me all this time. I don't know why I'm doing that. But I guess I'll get part of the glass. Wherefore, ye call to mind, ye remember, that are because when ye, the nations, when ye, and you don't have a verb here, but there's really a verb there. We have the verb in the last, and what is it? What was the verb? Ye exist, wasn't it? Ye existed. All right? Because when ye existed, the, as Gentiles, as heathens, the verb is supposed to be supplied in your head. Okay? Ye existed as heathens in flesh. We are all related to one man and one woman, aren't we? Who is that? Adam and Eve. We're all related to one man and one woman in the flesh. But there was a period of time when God left three families on this earth. The father of them was Noah. And there were three families, were Ham, Shem, and Japheth. By the way, the Ham, the people of Ham, now, as you read the Bible in 8 ages, you have to realize that that book was written by the Ku Klux Klan. In all reality, it was. It was written by people that had the idea that God had cursed all the dark races. And they were supposed to be slaves and servants, and that's just the way God's decision was. Well, God did curse one man in Ham's line, and that was Canaan. And that was the one that settled Canaan land, and God did use them to be slaves for Israel. All right? But that's all. That line was finished. When they went in and occupied Canaan land, that was it. Those were the Canaanites. That was the ones that were cursed as slaves. Nobody else. All right? We have Shem. That Shem means name or monument. Because God would, through the line of Shem, would bring forth the Messiah. He would bring forth His people, Israel. All right? Ham. The Hamite races have invented every invention that's ever been created or invented. Did you know that? The Hamite people have invented every basic invention in this world. The Japhethites, and the pure Japhethites are probably Germans and Northern Europeans and so on and so forth. The Germans probably epitome of that Japhethites. They perfected them, those inventions. And then the Shemites made money on it. And that's absolutely the truth. Now, that sounds like a joke. The Hamites invented, Japhethites perfected it, and the Shem, the Jews, made money on it. There's a reason for all that. That's the blessings of God. It's there. Through all these families, the blessings are there. You just go back and study history. The Doorway Papers by Constance. Can't remember. Anyway, that tells the Noah's three sons, that tells about all the basic study of mankind, the Hamite races, and some of them are even part Shem. Where did some of the most basic, where did guns begin? And gunpowder? China. Well, there you have people, some of those Chinese are pretty dark people, aren't they? That's Hamite. They're part Hamite. All right? And these people have created everything, invented everything, the basic inventions that was, ever had been. It's for a purpose, all of this. Why do you think that we have cars today in this 21st century? 21st century. And all the things are as they are today. Why do you think all that oil is over there in the Middle East? God's eternal purpose. I'm not saying that everything that's going on in the world is God's will. God is permitting it. God did not want Satan to rebel. But when he rebelled, when Satan rebelled, and he brought great havoc and destruction and chaos on the earth, and evidently there were many, many animals and much growth on the earth. When he caused all that death and destruction, some of that fossil fuel went miles down in the ground, and guess where the biggest deposit of it was? It is. In the Middle East. Now, what is going to call all nations by greed? What is calling all nations to the Middle East? Oil. Because of what Satan did. All of these inventions that have taken place and all the things that happened that God has allowed and through all these races of people, here it all is. Do you see how it can work together to bring about God's eternal purpose and His unpreventable progress? Something else. Having been created in Christ Jesus upon good works, wherefore call to mind, because when ye, the heathens, in the flesh. I don't see a Jew here tonight, so this must be talking about us. We're all heathens, aren't we? The ones having been called, or being called, actually, it should be, the ones being called, present participle, the ones being called, change that to being called. The ones being called uncircumcision. You know what it actually, it doesn't really, it means uncircumcision. It means foreskins. That's what it's called. He said, they called the Gentiles the foreskins.
the dirty dogs, the foreskins. That was a dirty word. If you want a dirty cuss word or something, that's it right there. That's a dirty word. The dirties, the dirty boys, the foreskins. That's what they called them. By the agency of the ones having are being called the circumcision. All right? Now, I want you to think about this. Peritome. Peritome means to cut around. All right? But also, God told to not cut yourselves like the heathens did. Right here, I believe Paul is using the term for the mutilators. He's calling, after the circumcision was set aside, after Jesus came and died, circumcision and all of these things wasn't necessary anymore, was it? All the law was set aside. The Sabbath was basically set aside. All of this was set aside. Now God says they're the mutilators, the self-mutilators. You know what did the prophets of Baal do on top of Mount Carmel? Huh? What did that great prophet of God say? He said, why don't you cut yourselves a little more and scream a little louder? Maybe your God's in the bathroom. Maybe he's hard of hearing. Cut yourselves a little more. And they cut themselves so much that the blood flowed. They mutilated themselves. Now God, through Paul, is saying that the Jews now are the mutilators too. They're mutilating themselves. That circumcision stood for something until now. That stood for the coming Messiah, but now the Messiah has come. Having been called circumcision in flesh, handmade religion. Kairo, that's hand, care. And poi a to, that means handmade. Handmade. Their religion is handmade. God told us earlier that our hearts are circumcised without hands. When God saves our soul, He circumcises our hearts. But I'm going to tell you something. Before you can ever follow God, you've got to be baptized by hands. You're circumcised in heart. You're saved by grace. But what's the first work of righteousness you can do after you've been saved? Baptism. You need to be baptized. And of course, that is by the hands of some officer in some New Testament church. That is how, that's what your first work of righteousness. All right. 2 and verse 12. Hote. Ate. To. Cairo. Echino. Choris. Christu. Apollo. Triomenoi. Tase. Politeas. We got to work politics from that. Polity and police. Two. Israel. Kai. Zenoi. Tone. Diathekon. Tase. Epangalias. Elpida. May. Ercontes. Kai. Athioi. Upon being. That's in perfect tense there. Ye kept on being in the season. In the season that. Now what time was that? What time is he talking about here? You Gentiles, you kept on being locked in, away from God. You were locked outside of the promises of God. You were locked out. You were aliens to God's commonwealth. You kept on being locked out. The only way for you to ever come into covenant relationship with God, you had to be circumcised. If you were a proselyte, if you were a heathen, you had to come to one of the people, some teacher in Israel had to proselyte you. They circumcised you, they baptized you, and they taught you what you were supposed to do. And when you were baptized, you renounced your old lifestyle, your old ethnic background, and you became a spiritual Jew. You were locked out otherwise in that season of your life. Ye kept on being for that season without, outside of the limits, out of bounds, beyond reach of Christ, beyond reach of Jehovah. having been alienated. Look at that word. Apollo triomenoi. Perfect participle passive. Having been thoroughly alienated, shut off and cut off from, I'll put genitive down there, put down the oblative. Alright? It's genitive, alright, but it's literally oblative. Singular, masculine. From the polity, from the commonwealth, from the society of the Israel. Israel. That's what it is. Israel. What does Israel mean? Man or prince of God. Israel was Jacob, wasn't it? God changing name. There's another name. Remember, see, was it last week that I talked about the names of God, the people that God named? Well, here's a man that God named. His name was Jacob. His name was Trickster. And God made him name, change his name to the Prince of God. All right? Israel. And strangers. And what? Strangers. Aliens. From, again, operative plural, from the Othekon. What were the covenants? Well, how many covenants? Did God make a covenant with Abraham? I mean, with Adam? Yeah. Did he make a covenant with Noah? Yeah. Did he make a covenant with Abraham? All right, from the very time that God made a covenant with Abraham, the rest of the world was cut off. You had to come to Abraham's family. You had to come. And then through Abraham, God made a covenant with Moses through Jacob's sons, which became the nation of Israel. So you're cut off from the commandments, having been shut off, shut out, strangers from the covenants. Diatheke. That's what it is there. Diathekon. From the covenants of the promise. What did God promise Abraham?
Many descendants.
He promised him a lot of descendants, but he promised him one very important one. And that was singular. What? He was going to be a father of many nations. He was going to be an exalted father of many nations. But what was the most important thing he told Abraham? He preached unto him the gospel. And what was the gospel? That through him one seed, one man, would bless all nations. Would bless all the nations through one of his seed. And that seed would be Jesus Christ. The promise of Elpida. That word is hope there. Guaranteed future existence. That hope is foundational. Not having. You didn't have hope. And then it says here, Ekontes, not having. Present participle active, non-plural masculine. You didn't have anything, and you kept on not having anything. And atheoi. What's atheoi mean? Godless. Godless. You didn't have a God. I mean, everybody worship. I mean, every heathen people in this world worship gods. But all their gods do is separate them from God. And their gods are not real gods anyway. So they were godless, weren't they? Godless. Without gods in the world, in the system. There's plenty of gods out there in the world, but people with the wrong God are godless. They're absolutely godless. If you got the wrong God, it's better if you didn't have any God, because that God separates you. We talked about the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a church ordinance. It's a local church ordinance. If you take that for the wrong reason, it can separate you from God. It can damn your soul. It's not going to save you. It'll damn you. Is this the 28th? Thank you for your attention. I hope you learned something from this lesson tonight.